to pay for a house, move over to another country and turn around immediately and head back. You get mind? If you don't have the mind, be careful what you do. So some strong thing will not do you. A servant of God in just, Pastor Canus, big building, massive, who knows, maybe it's big like this. Massive, very fine. He has a small old building made of brick. He said he built that massive thing. When he finished building almost everything, God told him, who told you to build this? Go back. I didn't tell you to build this. So he's back in the old brick, old ancient. At least he stands a chance. He stands a chance now. He obeyed. Would you be able to? How much money did he pump? How many millions did he pump into that edifice? And that is the challenge. This is why I tell you. If you know you find it hard to obey God, don't start anything God didn't say you should start. Except you're very soft. The type that when God says, drop it, you say, yes, sir. Not that you left here, traveled to Kano, bought material. Then God says, give it away. You say, every voice I bind. God will say, I'm not any voice. Have you finished? Give it away. If you know you don't even listen to God, be careful before you do anything. Because God is very scary. The little I've known of him. God can do anything. Do you know the secret I found out? You want to? I found out that God thinks he's God. Think about it for a moment. What a thing. God thinks he's God. What shall we do? He thinks he's the final authority. You guys, you see this kind of thing. Is it okay? God thinks he's the final authority. Who wants a challenge? You can raise your hand, but my own hand is, I'm raising, but it's pointing out. God thinks he's the final authority. You won't raise your hand. Think why? Nobody's bold here. Are you the final authority? God is the final authority. That's why he thinks he is. You know that you think something does not mean you're wrong. Until we have sealed the foreheads of the servants of our God. That is where the sealing happened in chapter 7. So long before we got to chapter 9, and these guys came out, God had provided provision and sealed the foreheads. Sealed the foreheads. Sealed the foreheads. They were about to unleash, if you read from verse 1 of chapter 7, the four winds from all directions, chaos and hurricanes. But God said, wait! Wait, my slaves. Again, Ezekiel 9. In Ezekiel 9, it tells you angels went out to destroy. Okay, put it there. What is the word for destroyer? Greek word? Apollyon. Ezekiel chapter 9 from verse 1. You better read your Bible like this. You don't read your Bible like this, you not read the Bible. Then I heard him call out in a loud voice, saying, draw near, O executioners of the city, each with a weapon of destruction. Each with a weapon of destruction in hand. Who are these people? Executioners of the city. Executioners of the city. Keep going. And I saw six men coming from the direction of the upper gate. Six men coming, each which faces north, each with a weapon of slaughter in his hand. With them was another man clothed in linen who had a writing kit at his side, and they came in and stood beside the bronze altar. Which altar?
Bronze altar.
What does bronze represent?
Judgment.
I know many new people, you don't know these things. Know it. Bronze. Why the first altar you meet when you enter the temple of God is the bronze? Because that's where God judges your sin by removing it with the blood of the lamb. That's why there's bloodshed at the altar of bronze. The soul that sinneth shall die. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. This is a place of judgment. You give account. You give a lamb. They kill the lamb. The blood speaks for you. There's a debt. We have paid the price of our sin. It's till you come deeper to the holy place, you see a golden altar. Out there is bronze. In here is gold. Out there. Why do you think the Bible, someone comes and teaches you that the word of God does not speak of judgment? that person, oh God, I've told you there's so much evidence for the truth that you have to try really hard to be blind. Do you know that the next thing there is a bronze basin, and that that bronze basin is made of the mirrors, Exodus 28, the mirrors of the women that were in the camp. Mirrors. They took, do you remember the bronze mirror that you can't see clearly,
yes,
dimly? They took it and melted it and made that second item there. Going from your left. The second item called the bronze basin. That is what represents the word of God in James 2, that he says that you come to the Lord and receive with meekness his implanted word, which is able to save your soul. His implanted word. He said, don't be hearers only, but doers, or you'll be deceiving yourself. For the one that comes, approaches the word of God, the perfect law of liberty, is like a man who looks in a mirror and walks away and forgets what kind of man he was. When you come to the word of God, you're looking at a bronze mirror. And bronze speaks of judgment. So any word you're looking at that doesn't tell you about God, not just his loving kindness, but about his justice too, is not the true word of God. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
First, Jesus has died for you at the gate to give you access. Second, the word of God will begin to wash your eyes. The washing of the water by word, Ephesians 5, that's your sanctification of your soul. He's cleansing you. Then the next level you enter, everything is gold. Gold. Gold is a picture of the heavenly. And the altar there is an altar of gold, not of bronze. Now the Bible, go back now to the book of Ezekiel 9. These men came and stood. These angels, executioners that have come with slaughter weapons, came and stood by what altar?
The bronze altar.
The bronze altar is the first altar, not the second altar. It's the altar where the Lamb of God dies. The problem is that when it's time for judgment, Jesus goes from being a lamb to being a lion. This is what's going to shock the whole earth. This is something major I want you to take away from this meeting. Every mindset you have, whatever theology you have heard about how Jesus is, I repeat that which I have said often. There's going to be so many shocks in the last day that most people backslide. Because many people go like, how could God allow this? How could God allow? Let me warn you in advance. Don't waste your time. You're the one that does not know God's times and seasons. When Jesus, it's lion time, he does not know you. When it is lion time, Jesus does not know you. Wow, look at how you're looking at me. Luke 13. Write it. Matthew 7. 23, 24. Luke 13. What verse? 9. The Bible tells you that people will rise and begin to hit the door. Open for me. Just go to that space. What? 27. Go step back. Too many verses. Verse 23. Lord, someone asked him, will only a few people be saved? Read with me. Come on. Come on. Jesus is going to answer. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Hey, what's the size of the door?
Narrow.
It's narrow. This salvation is not the salvation of your spirit when you gave your life to Christ. It is the salvation of the one. Do you remember the scripture that says, he that endures to the end will be
saved.
This question is not about those who began the journey. Many people have begun the journey with Jesus. It's not the beginning salvation. It's the salvation of those that are still following him till the end. Do you understand me?
Yes.
Many are
called.
Few
are chosen.
So many have given their life to Christ before, but few will be saved at the end, because few will endure
until the end.
Are you understanding these things?
Yes, sir.
Make every effort to enter into through the narrow gate, for many will try to enter, will not be able. Next verse. After the master of the house gets up and shuts the door, who will shut the door?
The master of the house.
Who do you think is the master of the house?
Jesus.
How can he shut the door? Have you heard before that he's the one that when he opens a door,
no man
can shut. And when he shuts a door, no man can open. You like the first part? The second part is still Jesus. You must know the two sides of the master we serve. The lion and the lamb. Those who turn all of Jesus into only a lamb are false teachers. They will mislead you into destruction. Jesus is never one-sided. He came 2,000 years ago to declare the acceptable year of God, the day of grace. That day ends. It has an end, and that end comes at the end. That's when the door shuts and people start being shocked. What happened? I thought Jesus, that's where people that didn't get born again since will tell you, I thought you said your Jesus is, where is he now? And you answer them, you came when he became a lion. You should have come since when he was a lamb. You had 2,000 years to make up your mind. And you waited, hoped for the best. The Bible says, after the master gets up and shuts the door, you will stand outside knocking. Who knows who told this story? Jesus told this story. Oh, don't think I came up with this at all. I did not write the book of Luke. I'm writing something, but I didn't write this one. Jesus said this. You hear Jesus. I sometimes look at people. You don't fear Jesus. Fear Jesus. Jesus is fearful. He's fearful. John that used to lean on his chest, when he saw Jesus, he fainted like a dead man. You know, there are different ways to faint. You can faint calmly. He fainted like a dead man. The dead man style. The same Jesus. He fainted like a dead man. He wasn't, well, is he not just Jesus? Sweet Jesus. He didn't sing a song. And did Jesus come as a lion? No, he just came wearing white with a belt of gold. John almost passed away. He said he will shut the door and you. He said you. Someone asked him a question out of gentleness. Will many be saved? He went personal. He said, you will stand outside knocking and saying, Lord, open the door for
us.
Say us.
Us.
Say group.
Group.
Say groupthink.
Groupthink.
Who goes to school here? You guys do psychology? You know what they call groupthink? No, they don't. There's no school again. What do you people learn in this place? It's no more our ivory tower. It's ebony tower now. What is it? He said, you will stand outside and knock and say, open for us. You know that whole thing as a group. If you go as a group, the lecturer will comply.
Yeah.
Nothing for you. Nothing. If we are many, if we are many, we can influence him. You will not influence the Lord. Very many people must have told Noah. Noah, listen, this is your father's brother. Noah. Noah. I said, listen, this Uncle Robert. Come first. Who has read the story of Noah? The Bible says 8 people were left. 8. God killed everybody. We read this on Wednesday. God did not say, you know, there are too many. You know, let me pick one. Let me pick 10 people from every tribe. Every person God picked was from one family. The father, the mother, the 3 sons, and the 3 women they just went and found. Like this. Any girl that married Noah was blessed. Any of his sons. Shem said, will you marry me? Okay. Will you marry me? Okay. That's how they came with 3 girls. Because God said, you have 7 more days. I think those boys just went into town. So I used to observe this other girl. Every girl that had sense and followed Shem, Ham, or Japheth, the rest all died, including the people that had a wedding that day when it started raining. They died. They did not get to their marriage bed. One family saved. Where's this story? In the book of 2 Peter 2, in the book of Jude. when this story is told, it is told in a way that says that it will happen again. So all of you that have the mindset, no, now, can God kill everybody? You are not a believer. You are not a believer. And you will see me. God is telling you, I've done it before. He warned. He was warning. What day? Wednesday. This is when we started. And he said, do you remember that if I did it before, I'm God. I don't change. Second Peter 2. If he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on his ungodly people but preserved Noah. If he was telling you what he can do again, you go and follow a preacher that tells you, I'm here to talk about the love of God. It never ends. It doesn't. And part of how he shows his love is that he removes all the bad, bad people and leaves only the good people behind. This is scripture. This is scripture. The Bible says, go back to where we are. Luke 13. You will stand outside knocking, read for me, saying,
Lord,
open the door for us.
But
he will reply.
Hey,
try and use it. This is the Lord talking, not you. Speak with dignity.
I
do not know
where you are from.
What? Now, some of you think, oh, no, these are people that didn't know God at all. Next verse.
Then you will say, We ate and drank with you.
And you thought in our streets. Street crusade. You held a campaign. You used to come to our village once every 2 months. You held, I was the organizer of the last greater, Okwiboku for Christ listener. He was the secretary. She was the assistant. That was the treasurer. You ate with us. Do you think they would be lying to him? Jesus said, you will say, I ate with you. I ate your body. I was a communicant. And he will answer. I tell you,
I
do not know where you are from. Depart from me,
all you
evildoers. Now, if you read this and you don't feel like peeing, and your life is upside down, you're not a believer. That's your guarantee of punishment. Because you see this thing Jesus said, you tell people, he will tell people. How can God lie? When the day comes, he will look at you face to face. No, you can't see him. The door is closed. You hear his voice through the door. And no matter what English you speak, no matter what credentials you pull out, it won't change. He repeated what he said before. And then he added extra. The first time he just said, I don't know where you're from. You should have left. You now add, depart from me, all you evildoers. How can people that were eating with Jesus and drinking with him be evildoers? Who wants to know the answer? 1 Corinthians 10 from verse 1. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Read. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them. And that rock was Christ. Next verse. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. For they were struck down in the wilderness. These things took place as examples to keep us from craving evil things as they did. Look at me. Do you now understand how you can eat with God and be struck down? That you think God has blessed you means he will bless you forever. You have refused to read your Bible. At some point, God goes, all right, I've given you a lot of goodies. Well done, well done, well done. All right, can you go and run some errands for me? You say no. You say no. You say no up and down. You say no. 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. Are you not looking for trouble? At some point, God is going to, wait first, come. So, all the things I've done for you, have you not heard I created you for good works in Ephesians 2 verse 10? I created good works for you to do from the beginning. You're not, oh, you won't do good work. You do bad works. You do what you like. Dissipation, drunkenness, worries has swallowed you. You have decided to live for yourself only. I'm going to not know you. You will knock the door and talk about how we had, how you were the one even carrying the communion cup. And I'll say, I don't know you. It's not because you committed one sin or 10 sins or 100 sins that I rejected you. It is that you were a worker of lawlessness. Chapter 7, Matthew, verse 23 and 24. 21 and 22. 22, sorry. 21, 22. 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Do these people call him Lord, Lord?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Are these people that call Jesus Lord, Lord?
Yes, sir.
In spite of the fact that they call him Lord, Lord, they may not enter the kingdom of heaven. Who are those that will enter? Read. But only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Do you want to be in God's good book?
Yes,
sir. Want to be in Jesus' good book?
Yes, sir.
You want the door to be open for you?
Yes, sir.
What do you do?
Do the will of the Father in heaven.
Did you hear that he said, believe in Jesus as Savior? Is that not what you just read? How do you enter the kingdom of heaven? By believing on Jesus. Is that not what it says? Excuse me, what did your pastor teach you before? Didn't he say, if you believe in Jesus, if you just believe in Jesus, it's done, done, done. Who has this Bible? Who brought this Bible here? Ah, it's not King James. It's not a real Bible. Change to King James, BSB. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Read now, you see the answer. But he that doeth
the will of my Father which is in heaven.
Maybe King James has backslidden. This Bible is still saying we have to do the will of God to enter the kingdom of heaven. How many of you know this is not what, this is not the contemporary gospel? How many of you know it's just by faith? That's all. If you do anything, it works. Okay, how many of you have heard? How many of you that you do anything, that is all, that is by only belief. That the moment you try to add even to give someone a pen, that you have done works, you have lost your salvation. Who has heard this gospel? Some of you don't go to church, you don't go to mosque. Where do you go to? Who has heard this gospel? Who has heard it? Who has heard this thing preached? That doing has nothing to do with Christianity. How many of you used to believe it very seriously before? I don't think some of you know anything. If you know how strange I sound, I'm what they would call a spiritual dinosaur. I'm preaching old time religion. I'm not preaching that thing. But people do not believe it has anything to do with what you do to enter the kingdom of heaven. All they believe is what you believe. Once you believe in Jesus, you've made it. It doesn't matter how you live. The blood is sufficient. You better read your Bible or they will be, this is a foreign language. Ntwanga ye ukut. Who does not know what that means? Who wants to interpret it? Who understands that language? There will be sorrow and grief. There will be weeping and lamentation. If you believe nonsense, you will not end well. I've said it that I believe some preachers in the coming age, all they will spend their time doing is running from their former church members. Have you seen them? The members of... Even if they make heaven, it will be like hell because they should pray their church members don't make heaven too. Because when your future church member always say, Pastor, that's him. Catch him. What did you tell us? What did you not tell us is only by grace? It's so popular. The way has been prepared for Satan and kept. Some things you guys cannot understand yet. You will understand. I pray you understand soon. I have to hurry. Many. How many?
Many.
Did you say a few? Many will say to me on that day, what would they say? Read.
Lord, Lord.
Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name?
And in your name
drive out demons and perform many miracles. So look at me. Is this guy born again or not?
Yes.
Is this a Christian or not?
Yes.
Is this guy likely a preacher?
Yes.
Preachers will tell the Lord Jesus, Lord, Lord. And he will answer them that same answer we read in Luke, verse 23. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Depart from me. You workers of lawlessness. Do you remember that's what he said before?
Yes.
Do you notice he keeps talking about lawlessness?
Yes, sir.
Do you know what lawlessness is? The absence of law. I hope you're on... Red Chair Truth. You're following it. If you're not following, follow it. Put out short clips on Thursday. Thinking Thursday. We talked about lawlessness. Well, if scripture... Lawlessness, the Greek word, you saw it. Anomia. Is the opposite of the word nomos. Nomos is law. Anomia is no law. The absence of law. Law does not apply to me. I am not under the law. That is why they will shut the door in your face and kick you out. Because God expected you to be under the law till you died. How can you say that, sir? I thought when Jesus came, he set aside the law. No, he fulfilled the law. I did not come to set aside the law, he told you in Matthew chapter 5, in very clear language. But to fulfill it. If you're on RCT, you see, for the past couple of weeks, I've been posting one or two scriptures every Thursday. So you think. Thinking Thursday. Thursday is for thinking. I keep putting scriptures there. If the law no is passed, how come the Bible says that love is the fulfilling of the law? If the law is passed, how come the Bible keeps telling you to do it? How can something be passed? And Jesus came to fulfill it. You don't know what it means to fulfill something? To accomplish something. How can something that has been thrown away, you're trying to accomplish what has been thrown away? Can you carry a basin? They say, throw away this basin, this pot, this plate. Throw it away. And all you're trying to do is make it fine and beautiful and polish it and keep it well. Jesus did not come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the purpose of the law. What is the purpose of the law? The purpose of the law is love. Romans 13. Love. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Everyone knows that God wants us to love. When you obey the law, you love. So how can the law be bad when it is the law that teaches you how to love? The law tells you that it does no wrong to his neighbor. Go back to verse 9. This is the part we skipped on Friday. Be indebted to no one. Verse 8. Except to one another in love. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Jesus came to fulfill the law. Jesus came to teach us how to love our neighbor and to love his neighbor. Love is the fulfilling of the law. How can you say the law is bad when the law teaches you how to love? Satan is a wicked devil. When you read your Bible and don't understand, you take portions of the Bible out of context. When men who have yielded to sin want to make everybody guilty like them, they start telling you, you don't need to keep the law. Everyone that Jesus says, I don't know you, are people who were lawless. All of them. He said, you are lawless. Depart from me. So you're following any version of Christianity that teaches you to ignore the law of God. The question is, what is the law of God? The Bible says, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 is love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness, temperance, self-control, faithfulness, and so on. Against such, there is no law. In other words, as long as you're walking in love, exercising patience, kindness towards people, love, enduring them, bearing, being kind, doing all sorts of things, there is no law that can be found against you. As long as you're not keeping that, is it 1 Timothy or 2? It says that the law is not for the righteous, but for the, and it begins to list different sins, which if you're committing any of them, the law is for you. The one who is walking in love is fulfilling the law. Next verse, you came, go back to Romans 13. Romans 13. The commandments, do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal, do not covet, and any other commandments are summed up in this one decree. Love your neighbor as yourself. So what did the Bible mean when it says, in a sense, that you don't need to keep the law in a certain sense? What it meant was that, why do I need to start saying, I know I should not kill you. I know I should not kill you. What are you talking about? The law says thou shalt not kill. I know, but I love you. Why would I even think of killing you? I love you. Why would I steal from you? The law says thou shalt not steal. If I love you, I won't steal from you. So why do you need to quote the law to me? You know, the Bible says you should not steal. I didn't come here to steal. I came to return your thing. This thing, I saw it outside, is your own. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Why would I sleep with my neighbor's wife? When I'm thinking, how would I feel if someone slept with my own wife? God forbid, God forbid. I'll not do it. I'll not do it. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Every time you obey the laws of God, you end up being a person who is loving. Do you understand? On the reverse side, if you want to approach it from the back door, if you have a practice of loving people, you will never do any of these things against them. Do you understand? The law was never abolished. Jesus came to fulfill the law and show you how to keep the law fully. Many pastors, some of them through confusion, I agree. Some of them through the power of Satan, have made it their duty to tell people that it doesn't matter which sin you commit, there's no law against you. Ha! You'll be judged for every law you break because you are the one the law is for. You didn't give me Timothy. The law is for certain people. 1 Timothy 1 verse 9 and 10. We realize that law is not enacted for who?
The righteous.
But for the lawless. And rebellious, for the ungodly and sinful. Excuse me, look at me. Do you know Christians that are rebellious?
Yes.
Do you know Christians, born again Christians, that are sinful?
Yes.
That are unholy?
Yes, sir.
The law is for you. How dare you say the law is not for you? It's exactly for you. The person the law is not for is the one that is not any of these things. The law is for the sexually immoral. I know many Christians are sexually immoral. How dare you say the law is not for you? 100% the law is for you. You and your pastor. The law is for you. Immoral people, you say the law is not, it's for you. It is against those who are self-controlled that there is no law. Are you understanding?
Yes.
You can't quote any law against them. You know the law, the Bible says, thou shalt not commit immorality. I didn't commit immorality. I don't know what you're saying. The law says you should not steal. I didn't steal. Oh, okay, sorry. The law said, thou shalt not dishonor your father and mother. I didn't dishonor. Sorry. It's not for you people. You guys are the righteous. Oh, sorry. Then you look for the sinner and are you understanding? Whether it claims to be born again or not. All this confusion being spread in the body of Christ. Spreading darkness. Preparing the way. Guess who you will worship when he comes? The Bible calls him in 2 Thessalonians 2. We read it. The lawless one. If you're a lawless person, I am sorry. You're going to follow the lawless one. He's the king of the lawless. You can't help it. You can't be lawless now. Then when the lawless one comes, the Antichrist, you suddenly don't follow him. There's no magic. You can't help it. It won't be your fault. I don't blame you. I only blame you now. Now that he has not come. Because when he comes, he will activate and attract his followers. It won't be hard. He's the ultimate rebel. So he's going to sound his whistle and his army of lawless people will fall behind him. That's who is coming. The coming of the lawless one. And he would be doing power, signs, and wonders. Any church you see now, I'm not hiding my mouth to say it. I can say it anywhere. Any church you see that they emphasize power, signs, wonders, and despise holy living, open their mouth and mock holiness, mock righteous living, joke with it, make it, if you like, stay there. Stay there. If in that church they talk about the holiness on stage, but in behind, they don't practice any, if you like, stay there. You will be lawless. You will be lawless. You hear people talk about when you preach again about holiness, they say you're teaching people sin consciousness. Who has heard this phrase? Sin consciousness. That you're making people sin conscious. How many of you, when the more you overcame sin, the more you understood sin and were conscious of it, the less you committed it? How many of you find out that as you're overcoming sin, that you are becoming more and more conscious of it? Someone can sit in a congregation for 8 months. You don't hear anything that wounds you, pricks you. Once in a while you hear, you say, Kai, today was hot. Pastor was hot today. Or that visiting preacher. Ah, whoever was in a church like that, just once in a while you feel sober. Kai, once in a long while. Don't stay in churches like that. They will serve you with garnishing to Satan. When the lawless one comes, you worship him. I've been saying this for years. Most people you know will worship the lawless one. That your hope that they will not. What are you doing to stop it? Are you dragging them to a good church? Are you giving them good messages to listen? Are you praying for them that the Lord will convict them of sin? Open their eyes. What are you doing? Are you joining them to sin and say, well, let's hope. Oh, me, I know I'm not good, but I hope God will have mercy on me. I just know. It's not how things work. Back to Matthew 7. He that doeth, there's a doing the will of my Father in heaven. Those are those who enter the kingdom. The rest of them, he will say to them, verse 23, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Your King James says iniquity, but when you read that, you don't know what you're reading. The word is anomia. It means to be lawless, less law. Laws don't apply to me. How you know you are a candidate and you likely do well, maybe you'll be a general in the kingdom of darkness in the days to come. Do you want training? It's not for you, it's for someone. Tell them. When there's a room, a normal room, like your hostel room, they keep a dustbin and say, everybody, when you have trash, put it in the dustbin. And you immediately say to your roommate, for what? I'll walk from here down there. I beg. What's the job of the cleaner? Let them sweep. And you drop your trash on the ground. You're a likely candidate. You'll be in the A class. The A class of Satan. That everything in you that hates law. Rules. Any rules at all. Why do they make rules? Why do they make rules? Me, I don't like all these laws. We should be free. Check yourself. You should open a journal, write the lawless one. Then you take notes of what I'm saying. Your future is hot. You don't understand? Bracket, lake of fire. Your future is hot. God, many people don't know God. Jesus is God made flesh. He came to earth and behaved like this. They slap him. You do like this. You. Hey, don't talk to me anyhow. Don't talk to me anyhow. Do you know who I am? You're a yam. Well, it sounded too nice to pass. Who I am? You're a yam? Nice to meet you. I'm Exos. We are meant to be together. Before I make you hungry and you stop hearing me, I trigger your stomach juices, your gastric juices. I'd like you to understand this. I've preached on these things many times before, but whenever I find my mouth saying things, I've tried not to stand in the way of the Holy Spirit, because he's always reaching somebody. He's always reaching to somebody. What I'm amazed at is when he reaches to anybody and you despise him. You despise him as though you can control him to come back and reach to you. Do you know that without the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you can't repent? Yeah. Do you know that you cannot force him to convict you? Yeah. Do you know people have sat there and wished that their heart would be soft? And it's not soft. It's as hard as stone. Whenever the Holy Spirit puts his finger on your heart and touches it, let him touch it completely. It's a blessing that the Holy Spirit is poking you. I want to wrap up. And I'm wrapping up with this. The lawful one, the Lord, who is our lawgiver, is coming. The end of the age is coming. I'm suspecting. I have questions? Yes. How many? One. One real question. The rest, these ones are... Okay, pass it to me. So, I'll answer those questions and we'll pray. You've tried. Some of you, you've tried. You came for a normal church meeting. This is not a normal church. Mm-mm. I'm not preparing for anything normal. The average normal human being doesn't have a clue of their future. They are just ready to enter trouble. You are clueless. You know, a preacher, but an older Christian told me once that my messages are apocalyptic about the end. That messages like that make people, God, respect. Hi. And we didn't have time. I had to come and preach. I've told you, in fact, I've been feeling if I see him, a Christian gentleman, I'm sure he's a nice Christian gentleman. I would ask him, what are you saying? What were you saying, sir? Come, let's read Jesus. Come. I will open Matthew. So Jesus was apocalyptic. You're what? John wrote a book called The Apocalypse. What's your problem? They wrote it 2,000 years ago. We have a few decades left. How long do we have? We won't preach apocalypsis, the revealing of the Christ, the uncovering. I should preach sugar and beans. You have not eaten baked beans before? That's sugar and beans now. Baked beans. Sugar, beans. I should preach nonsense so that when God sees me, you say, I gave you a chance to lead people to me, and you kept them and rubbed their heads and blew like the demon that makes people sleep in church. You know that demon? You know this, don't you? If you do that long enough, you have left. I should do that to people that left their house. Get myself, I should join and talk nonsense. I tell a lot of jokes because I like to laugh. If I had my way, look for me in the age to come. When all this trouble has finished, look for me in the age to come. You know, I'll have a show, maybe. I'll move around. So people will be laughing, so you'll be healed. In case you've crossed over and you're not still healed. No, but the Bible says that laughter does good like medicine. So one of the ways people get healed, actually, is by laughing. Many people, some people have demons. They are cast out when they relax. Yes. And I'm serious. So I would like to laugh all the time. The problem is that, well, you know, I told my people years ago, I said, while we are fighting this war against Satan, casting out demons, prophesying, healing the sick, doing everything we are doing, at least we can be happy while doing it. We don't have to be so sad every second. Things are hard enough. It's an approach. You can be dull. You can be sorrowful. You can be sullen. You can be morose. You can be anything you want to be. Pick your adjective. Me, I'll be laughing while doing it. I've told you, sometimes I'm casting out demons, and we can laugh in between. Not me and the demon. The demons don't laugh. They don't find it funny. But briefly, I might yap. I might cause small trouble for it. After all, it has caused much trouble for us. When you're tired, you can't leave. You have to be casting it out. If only to leave like a gentleman. It won't. But there's no time I can't laugh. And then ended up, let's finish 1 Thessalonians 5, we're at verse 3. Verse 4, I'll stop. Where were we? 3? So you don't say I left you hanging. Verse 3. It will come like labor pains, and they will not escape. Who are those that will not escape? The people. Do you remember the people? They will not escape. Look at verse 4. But you, brothers, are not in the darkness so that this day should overtake you like a thief. When I saw this thing 20 years ago, or whenever I saw it, my world changed. The day of the Lord shall not come like a thief in the night for me. It's for people. For brothers, brethren, real Christians, the Bible says, it's only those in darkness that day will overtake like a thief. For those that are in the day, it will not come like a thief. All your life, you've heard that Jesus will come like a thief in the night. The question is for who? Not me. How am I sure? Why is he speaking so boldly? I'll show you. I'll show you in a few minutes. Verse 5. For you are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as the others do, but let us remain awake and sober. Have you seen these things? Do you understand these things? There are those that the day will come like a thief in the night. It did not apply to everyone. But Christians everywhere preach, big pastors, small, you know that they will come like a thief in the night. Not from me. Jesus was clear, and I'm ending with this. I'm not even sure if he opens it, thank him, but I'm not even standing to read it. Jesus said the coming of the Son of Man, hear this, will be like what? Like the days of Noah, one, and like the days of Lot. Have you heard this? He will come like the days of Noah and the days of Lot. What are the two things that happened in the days of Noah and the days of Lot? For those that were not here the other day, one, the days of Noah, 7 days. Go to, quickly, Genesis 7. In the days of Noah, the Bible says, yet 7 days and the flood will come. Yet 7 days and the flood. Go to verse 4. Yeah. For 7 days from now, I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. And I'll wipe from the face of the earth every living thing I have made. You should have gone back to verse 1 and 2 and 3 first. And then the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you and all your family, because I found you righteous in this generation. Did Noah know? Did Noah know the flood was coming?
Yes, sir.
Did he know before when he was building the ark?
Yes, sir.
Did he know the date of the flood when he was building the ark?
No, sir.
But 7 days to the flood starting, did he know?
Yes, sir.
And Jesus said it would be like in the days of
Noah.
So where do we get your beliefs from? The second thing he said was in the days of Lot. Question, did Lot know before Sodom was destroyed?
Yes, sir.
Did the angels not come in the evening before and take him by the hand and tell him, tomorrow we are destroying this city?
Yes, sir.
Didn't the angels tell him, go into the city, if you have anybody in this city, bring them out?
Yes.
Did you see Noah being told to get his family?
Yes.
Did you see Lot being told to get whoever he cares for?
Yes, sir.
As it was in those days, so it shall be in the coming of the Son of Man. Any theology you have otherwise, that's your personal, you read books. Let me not go into calling the names of the books that popularize this. Some of the things you don't even know. Some of them, they're sincere people, but certain people popularize the beliefs. Let me not go into the history. Go and listen to the old messages where I talk about all these things. Go and listen to the early days, 18-something, where they began. Good men, some sincere, but sometimes mistaken. Based on a vision, based on something, they put out things. A brand new Christian, again, I've called their names, all of them in the past. Go and listen to the messages where I shared on this. As they put out those things, they made mistakes. They were sincere, but they were wrong. And the whole church now believed that the day will be like a thief. And he clearly says that day should not come on you like a thief. That means you're one of the people. If you're in the people group, when I ask you, are you a people? Funny, but I was making a point. Ask yourself, when you live here today, are you one of the people? You're the one that all these things will overtake. This message will be useless. Or are you a born slave? Are you going to make a choice? Lord, I want to learn to be a slave. Are you going to be a church girl? I don't know, well, I don't like how this is because my father says you go to church. Your father will not save you in the day the Lord comes. You know what happened in that story in Ezekiel? That one angel went around marking the foreheads. I'm tying up loose ends. Marking the foreheads of certain kinds of people. Those who groan and weep and lament over the abominations in the church of God. So if you are amongst those who have been taught, don't say anything against the church. Don't say anything against the churches. We are better than you. Follow any preacher that espouses those doctrines, you're already in trouble. You cannot be sealed. Go throughout, verse 4, Ezekiel 9. Throughout the city of Jerusalem, said the Lord. Jerusalem is the, do you know the heavenly Jerusalem? Is it Hebrews chapter 12? Is the church. And put a mark on the foreheads of the men, sighing and groaning over all the abominations committed where?
There.
There. Where is there?
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem, not in the whole earth. I don't sigh and groan over all the wickedness done all over the earth. There's a lot of wickedness. I've heard terrible things. I'm aware of horrible things. That's not what breaks my heart. What breaks my heart is all the wickedness in the church of God done in the name of God while they are pointing hands at the people of the world and say, how could they do that? Pointing at senators, pointing at governors, pointing at presidents. It's so bad in me that I get offended the moment I hear you. Except I know that when you preach against the evils done in the church too. Then I can endure if you say something against government. But when you never say anything against the evils in the church, you say things like, our fathers. Your father, wait, what? That's your father? No wonder you are like this. Your father? Who is your father? Shouldn't a father give a good example? Your father is eating sour grapes. You join and eat. Your father tells lies. You join and tell lies. Huh? Your father... Stop it. You don't groan. You don't sigh. Your heart does not break. A man of God is doing nonsense. They come out and say, this man of God did nonsense. He did nonsense. Me too. Me too. Me too. He did it to me. Or you say, silence. Do you know God will punish all of you for speaking against the man of God, the anointed? I'm supposed to take you, no man. I'm sighing and groaning over that one. That's where my sigh and groan is. The Bible said, seal their foreheads. Go throughout. So you're here. Nothing bad worries you. In fact, you're like, leave it. We are all human. We are all human. Everybody has his weakness. They will not mark your forehead. The destroyers are coming for you. What that angel opened from that pit will find you. It's because you don't know scriptures. You would hate evil. You would hate lawlessness. Look at, I'm thinking of examples I could give of things that they said someone did. That you can't even give the example. I can't even tell you. I'm too embarrassed. Then you're busy pointing at politicians. People that go, they're in cults. I should join you and talk against people in cults. You, church, you come and stand and say, in Jesus' name. And use it to do evil. I keep quiet about you. And talk about the unbeliever that has been saying for how many years, me, I know, say I know good. Me, I know I'm not good. He, the man said he's not good. You said you are good. I should talk against an honest sinner and ignore a dishonest preacher. You are not serious. These are the doctrines that have gone up, especially in places like this, Nigeria. White man, at least they will hide. Nigerians, they are a bit open. Like what? So what? What did I do? It's my weakness. If it was a weakness, I wouldn't understand. It's not even a weakness. You're not even sorry. You're not even sorry. You're just wicked, wicked all the time. Next verse. He marked their foreheads, and as I listened, he said to others, follow him through the city and start killing. Do not show pity or spare anyone. You want to see something scary? Who are they following? The guy that is marking. What is following as they just finish marking? So when he passes, the one that comes behind say, oh, they've marked this one, they pass. When they don't mark, next verse, slaughter the old men. Read, the young men and maidens, the women and children, but do not go near anyone who has the mark. Now, begin at my sanctuary. So they began with the elders who were before the temple. Did I write this? Decide what you want with this thing you have read. Close it. Let's not read again. Before they said, that man wrote a book and squeezed it into his church message. That is the Bible. You have had that book for thousands of years. Maybe we should start reading the Bible more. What do you think? We can sing, we can dance, we do all of that. We can clap our hands. We can talk of God's promises. We can pray for the sick, cast out demons. We did that 2-3 weeks ago. We do that all the time. But you never go in front of Jesus. You follow him behind. The Lord wants people to sign up for their foreheads to be marked. It's not a physical mark. It's a spiritual mark. It's a function of your choice in your heart and the life you live. the life you live. How can I be sighing and groaning against the evils being done in the church and I join and do it? Then I come and stand in public, sound as though I'm a good person. Go behind, practice the opposite all the time. Come here, pretend. They are preachers like that. They are pretenders. They come and sound as though they are good. Behind, they are practicing all the same abominations, committing immorality, doing all those things. And some of their church members now, they keep going and say, well, you don't know God will deal with you too. How can you know your man of God is evil and you are still there under him? I don't mean he stumbled one time or he has a secret. He's evil. It's a continuous thing. You continue. You don't know God will punish you. Some, you're even inviting people to come to the church. So you're the one that leads people, God's lambs, to the slaughter. Whatever you're thinking, you're not thinking. You're not thinking at all. You don't know evil is going on somewhere. They are cutting off people's heads. You take someone there. Oh, I can never do that. Spiritual cutting of head may be worse than physical. Physical, you're dead instantly. Spiritually, you hand over someone, they bind them. Then they become hypocrites too. They become hypocrites. We are not called to lack fear of God and to fear men. Too many people, you fear man. You care what people think about you. It will cost you your spiritual life. But I believe also that there are people, you're hearing these things today, and the Lord is telling you, I have questions to answer. The Lord is telling you, it is time for you to make a good choice. It is time for you to turn to me. It is time for you to make a decision. There are some of you who've been born again for a while. But after today you're going to say, you know, I want to explore that bond servant thing. I want to consider being a slave. When we stand up to pray, make sure you pray about it. I too, there was a day many years ago when I heard about it and I went like, that's what I want. I want to serve God with all my heart, single-minded, free of sin. I was born again for a long time before that. I didn't know that. So when you hear that you can apply. So there's some of you, you're hearing. Now, if you have any question about anything I've said, you didn't write it, you can raise your hand. A microphone will come to you where you're seated. You ask your question. Other than that, I'll answer the ones that have been sent in already. You know, we are going to be very snappy. The Bible says everyone will be judged according to their works. What does the statement, there is no small or great sin, mean? It's not in the Bible. That thing you just said there is not in the Bible. There's no small or great sin. It's a popular saying. There's small and there's great sin. The Bible is very clear that there's small and great sin. Read Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. Verse 18. Verse 20. Sorry.
For I tell you that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven.
Verse 19, please.
So then, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do likewise, will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven.
Did you see him say that there's something like the least of the commandments and that you can break it?
Yes.
Did you see it?
Yes.
Why would he say there's a least of the commandments? If all commandments are the same, and if breaking them are all the same too. Do you understand what I've just said to you? But there are many other scriptures that convey the idea that there are lesser and there are greater sins. Have you never read about every sin that is against you commit is outside the body? But that the sin against your body. 6 verse 18, 1 Corinthians 6.
Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a man can commit is outside his body. But he who sins sexually sins against his own body.
I explained this on Friday or Wednesday, that there are sins that are in your mind, and it affects your spirit and your soul. But when you commit immorality, you have included the third dimension, your body. The Bible says a threefold cord is not easily broken. That's why when people fall into sexual immorality, you struggle so hard. It's a dimension of sin that when the devil can include the three, now you have a threefold cord of sin, spirit, soul, and body. Before you included your body, you had a twofold cord of sin. Two. This is bad because two are better than one. So two dimensions of your being is bad enough. Once you include, it becomes three. It's very hard to break. That's why people struggle with sexual immorality so hard. Once your body has joined in, it's a new dimension of warfare. So there are degrees of sin. Then if you look at Colossians 3, Ephesians 5, Galatians 5, all of them tell you one similar thing. That there are three major emphases you not should not sin in. Three. Colossians 3, 5. Leave it there. Ephesians 5, 5. Put to death, therefore,
the components of your earthly nature. Sexual immorality.
What's the first one?
Sexual immorality.
Second?
Impurity.
And the third?
Lust.
Lust. Now, if you link that, lust, does it sound like evil desires?
Yes.
Good. And then after that, greed, which is idolatry. Take note of that. Now, go to Ephesians 5, verse 5. You see a similar thing. Of this, you can be sure, no one,
immoral,
two, impure, three, greedy person, that is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Go to Galatians 5, verse 19. You see a similar thing. You always see them start with this once. The acts of the flesh are obvious. One, sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, and sorcery. Now, if you look at, you see sexual immorality again, it always takes the lead, yes? Then you notice impurity and debauchery. Debauchery is lack of shame. And then you see, always at the top, you see idolatry, which is what? Greed. So, I call them GIP, what do you call them? Sexual immorality, impurity, greed, SIG. It's not a prayer group, special intercessory group. No, it's SIG. These are the three I shared on it. There's a message on it. Find it and listen to it. Some months ago, I shared on it. They are the three major things that Satan uses. Now, there are other things, but these core three, if you go back to Colossians 3, you see it. After verse 5, it tells you this, that you should put these ones to death. Now look at verse 6 and 7. Because of these, what happens? The wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience. Yes? When you lived among them, you also used to walk in these ways. Now look at verse 8. But now you must put aside all such things as this. Some Bible say also. And it begins to list the other ones that even Christians sometimes have and think is not bad. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language. Have you seen this? Why does he separate it? Because those other ones above are the barbers that hold the door open for every kind of evil. When you have it in your life, God have mercy on you. You see the born-again Christian with sexual immorality in his life. God have mercy on you. Your warfare is a completely different kind. Completely different kind of warfare. Sexual immorality as a... The wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience because of it. The wrath of God. Anger, rage, malice. Your pastor will tell you, stop it. But the other one, those ones are killers. Those are the ones that make you one with a harlot. Every other sin is outside the body. Immorality is in the body. So when you take yourself and commit fornication with someone, you have entered another dimension of sin. Your struggle, the chains Satan will have on you is unique. You'll likely be owned. Go and ask Samson. When greed owns you, you will struggle with preaching the truth. As a preacher, you make so many mistakes so many times because greed has a hold on you. When you practice impurity in secret as a lifestyle, it will leak out and affect the people you are ministering to. There are things you don't compromise with. You fight till you kill it. Then there are the other things which are still bad, but well, doesn't mean when you're angry, you can't just talk anyhow. You have to control your anger. It's different. 1 Corinthians 5 gives you a list of sins. You didn't read 1 Corinthians 5 verse 9. 1 Corinthians 5 9. I'm showing you all of this so you understand it's not a mistake. These are different letters to different people. Why does he keep repeating it? I'm writing you verse 11. Not to associate with anyone who claims to a brother, but is
sexually
immoral,
greedy,
an idolater,
or a
verbal abuser, drunkard, swindler. With such a man, don't even eat. Have you seen there? Did you see him say people get angry? Did you see him say those who keep malice? No. All these are sins that can be seen. None of these sins here are hidden. A drunkard is not a hidden sin. He's a drunkard. He staggers around. An idolater is a love of money. A greedy person. The sexual immoral is the same three. Immorality always mixes with impurity. Are we clear? So you're here. God wants to free you from the big three. First. You must be free from those ones. Don't come and stand here and give a testimony. I want to thank God how God helped me not to be angry with my brother. You know, my brother makes people angry, so I've just been praying to God to help me. Why you're living in immorality? Don't tell that kind of deceptive testimony. Sit down till you have overcome immorality. Don't give empty testimony. Let it be someone that has overcome all those ones. You come and testify that kind. You're giving the impression that your enemies are small when you're still fighting giants. Did you hear me? Follow a priority. Deal with the king's sins. So brother, sister, whoever asked that question, big sin, small sin, this is how I say our people should ask that question. You're asking if there's a big seed or a small seed, because every sin is a seed. Have you seen a coconut before? Have you seen the size of the seed? A whole coconut is a seed. Have you seen pepper before? Have you seen that one of those tiny white things inside it? Have you seen a pepper plant? How tall does it grow? How long does it live? Have you seen coconut? How tall does it grow? How long does it live? If you think all sin is sin, go and kill someone. The one your grandfather killed is still killing people in your generation. Your great-grandfather killed, though. Someone that died in 18-something is still affecting you. Still affecting your household. You can never compare it to the small sin that your brother committed. There's a difference in sin. Sin is seed. Do not commit any sin or every sin. Don't commit sin at all. But even if you're foolish enough to sin, tell yourself, I'll not do this one. I was tempted. You went and committed adultery. Are you planning to marry? Are you thinking? Be careful. No, the man was so kind to me. You don't understand. You don't understand. When your husband becomes a dog, you don't understand. When he collects HIV from a strange woman and dashes you, in your mind, no, I didn't do anything. Have you been to the spirit realm? Have you seen the courts of heaven? Have you seen how they prosecute matters in that place? When the devil says, my Lord, the accuser of the brethren, on the 17th day of, and finishes you, then you have plans. Your plan is to just live a normal life. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. No, God, I've asked God to forgive me. I'm not saying he has not forgiven you. But Satan's pound of flesh, I should show you, write the word Shishak. S-H-I-S-H-A-K. When you go back, find it and read it. You have a phone with a Bible in it. Read it. Shishak. That's my answer to you. Shishak. But I've repented. I've asked God to forgive me. Read that chapter from the beginning. 1 Kings. Shishak. Shishak is often what you get when you goof and God forgives you. And you learn what it means to be under bondage for sin. It's not every... Now, someone is saying, are you saying God doesn't forgive all that he does? I'm not saying every situation where you sin, the same thing will happen to you. That's not what I'm saying. Hear me. What you did may never happen to you, ever. That one is in God's hands. But sometimes, those who tempt the Lord their God repeatedly and do not listen to him, sometimes there's a season, like Shishak, when he was ruling over Jerusalem, King Rehoboam. For a season of time, you are allowed to be under something. There's consequence for sin. Let me tell you the people that get away with the most sin. Those that are completely unsaved, not born again at all. Their sins can be wiped out as though they have never committed one sin before. Two, those who are very new Christians and very ignorant. Just pathetic. They are still under a lot of demonic influences. But the one who has worked with God for a good while, known God, and does anyhow, I don't know how to explain it well now. I don't have time. Be careful. Be very careful. Because when the devil accuses you and says, but she knew, what does the Bible say in Luke chapter 12? The one who did not know his master's will, but did things worthy of punishment will be beaten with few blows. The one, go back to the verse before. The servant, verse 47, Luke 12, 47. That servant, read with me, who knows his master's will, but does not get ready or follow his instructions, will be beaten with many blows. Guess who said this?
Jesus.
The Lord Jesus said it. I did not write it. Do you notice that this person is a servant? A servant of who? Of God. So be very careful about your attitude. All that nonsense about, well, God knows I, well, thank God that died for us. He died for you. He did die for you. Your sins will be forgiven. But he did not say that when he forgives you, he will not thrash you. Be very careful. You are the one that has an interpretation of scripture that is not safe. Have you read James 5 before? Why does the Bible say that is any of you sick? Call for the elders in verse 14. And if he has committed sin, it shall be forgiven him. Then it says, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another in verse 16. Why does it say so? Who connected sin to his sickness? The Bible. Do you know how many Christians are sick right now? All over the earth. And it's only because of sin. The only reason they are sick. The only reason for the affliction is sin. It's not two things. It's not four. It's not one. It's not the fourth. It's not which. It's nothing. It is sin. And some can be sick like that till they die. When did I share these things on sin and death? My own small, this small me, 20 some 5 years ago, as a young man in university, when God was teaching me these things, I didn't read it from a book. I watched it happen. I watched people die. 23-year-old, 20, they died and were buried. And God would tell me before it happens and tell me why. That's a child of God, worship leader, goosebumps. I was like, what kind of glorious singing is this? She died at 23. And God told me 3 times before she died. She was not my member. She was nothing. I was not a child. Who was I? I was waiting to go to law school. Told me clearly. So when she died, there was no confusion. I'm saying they didn't teach me. It's not your pastor that taught me this one. I didn't read it in a book. I read my Bible a lot. Theory is Bible. Practice. It was practical. As God showed me, say, watch. This is going to happen now. It didn't happen once. It didn't happen twice. It didn't happen thrice. So when I preach the way I'm preaching, I'm not preaching from all these people. They are just talking because they have, they listen to, they believe in the law. No, I believe in the word of God. Yes, I do believe in the law of God. Yes. Yes, the God of justice. In all the instances, they were born again. I've never seen God worry himself too much about an unbeliever. Unbelievers are, they are in their element, a fish in water. What's your problem? Leave. I'll go and tell an unbeliever, stop committing immorality. What are you talking about? I'll tell an unbeliever, repent and become a Christian. Which one is stop committing immorality? It's when you're a Christian. That's when God started showing me that my calling is to the church. There are preachers that are called evangelists to the world, to save the world. Me, I'm called to the church. Because all my spiritual senses, all those burdens I had, all of them, you have to be born again for me to have a burden for you. If you're an unbeliever, I get nothing. It's when I'm around Christians that I would pick deep sorrow. Christians. 1999, 8, 9. I would like, what's happening? What's happening? And God would tell me, a Christian is in trouble. A Christian is in sin. When it happens, then the number of times it happened to me, you believe. Other than that, believe nonsense. And as a child of God, that cannot be God. How come they died the way God told me they would die? How come they died? Not one, not two. I will watch it till the time came. I'll be so afraid. The moment I pick it, I'll come to you as cowardly as I am. I still am a lot. What you see is the grace of God. I'll come, please, sister, I want to talk to you. Do you have time? Till they tell me, brother, feel free, talk. Don't worry, it's okay. They'll be patting my back. This thing I'm feeling, I usually feel it when, but I'll find a way and say it. The ones who repented are helped. The ones who don't repent, bad things happen to them. You're telling me that it's Satan that was telling me? Is it Satan that told me? I was not looking for these things when it started happening. I didn't ask God. God, could you please introduce me to experiences? I didn't ask. God chose to teach me. And he showed it to me in the Bible, James 5:16. That's where he taught me that when people confess sins, healing comes from those sins. Bondages are broken. I saw people who were bound by sin. After they just opened their mouth to say it, that thing scattered. And I've seen that happen even as a pastor so many times. In fact, it's like almost the number one way to be free of sin. Let the cat out of the bag. It's like you pull away the cup of darkness. Satan loses power. It's like, hey, have you seen cockroaches scatter when you put on that? That's what. Demons have power when they're covered. So when you uncover it, the power of the Spirit has power in that place. It has power to come in. But most people would rather die than uncover. They are like the Count Dracula. You don't do light. Do light. Uncover. If you confess your sins, verse 16, one to another, and pray for one another, you will be healed. And back then, I would ask different people, that God will give me a brother, and I speak to them and they start opening up. Some are crying and all that. I'll always ask them, have you told anybody this before? They gave me one answer. Every single one. No. 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 They had never confessed their sins. So what am I saying to you? If you want to be free of sin, I can assure you, amongst other things, you will not keep wrapping it up and saying, I'm hoping for the best. Satan never forgets. If he has not forgotten what your great-great-grandfather did, how can he forget what you did just 3 years ago, 30 years ago? How can Satan forget? Satan does not, he keeps it to afflict your children. Then he forgets it while you're alive. So even when God wants to forget it, Satan cannot allow. It's his job to accuse. He's a prosecution attorney. My Lord, the family of Nun, and he pushes, and things happen, and everybody starts running around as though something new happened. Nothing new happened. And even if it's something new, it's because you're committing fresh sin. Are you understanding these things I've said? Whenever the Lord speaks like this, it's because someone is there. Can God know something, someone initially, later and not know them anymore? Yes, brother. When God says, I don't know you, doesn't mean he doesn't know. God knows everything. He knew you before you formed your mother's womb. That's not what it means. You should know what it means now. It just means, oh boy, I don't know you. He's a pigeon. Next. that interpretation is good. Wow. That, just take it like pigeon. Oh boy, I don't know you. I bet. Come out this place. If you understand it that way, he means, don't bother. Take it like that. God knows everything. Next verse. Next question. In the Danite disaster, the tribe of Dan lost their inheritance. But in Ezekiel, a territory was given to them. How does this match the previous revelation? You brought this question now as we are rushing to go and eat. Don't ask this question now. Ask it in another time. Eh? Did I mention Danite? Even if I did, I mean. So they are restored. Aren't you happy? That's in Ezekiel now. When will Ezekiel 48 be fulfilled? That temple, when do you think it will be built? This age? When did they see Dan without a foundation? You're presuming when you read the book of Revelation that that is the end? The city that comes out of heaven. After that, we enter another age. So the Bible touches things in future ages too. You're going to have to wait till we see the application of this. Is that okay? Next verse. Is the law of attraction satanic? The book, there's a book called The Law of Attraction. It is satanic. If you've read it, receive freedom in Jesus' name. Amen. Law of Attraction. Her name is Brynn, Rhonda Brynn. I've talked about her different times. Her father in the Lord is Father something Velayos, who is a Rosicrucian. So what do you think? She calls him her source of light. That's a father in the Lord, God forbid. So the source of the woman who wrote the series, The Secret, who espouses most the law of attraction, wrote, I've forgotten the second one, the third one is called The Magic. All of it, she's under the influence of a Amok grandmaster. That's her source of illumination. So you can decide what you're getting from it. What does the Bible mean when it says that a man thinks so he is? Go and read this in the book of Proverbs chapter 23. And it's telling you that a selfish man, is that the last question? It's telling you that a selfish man does not want to give his food as he's thinking in his heart. That's the way it is. Even when he tells you eat and drink, that you're going to cough up everything that his heart is not with you. Is that okay? What is the law of sin and death? It's the law that when you commit sin, you die. Please, I have to give you the short form. I want to end. The law of sin and death is the law that when you goof, you reap death. Adam and Eve committed sin. Romans chapter 5 tells you. And then it tells you around verse 17 that death came into the world and reigned as king. So the law of sin and death is that is what I've been preaching a good part today. Thank you for the titling. When you commit sin, you permit death. Have you heard the different stories I told today? When you sin, there's a law that when people sin, death receives permission to come and sit and start to dictate things. It can be death to your business, your family, your well-being, to your mind. One of our sisters here was sharing a testimony. I watched it the other day. How she watched pornography from secondary school. Watched it from primary or secondary? Primary, 7 years, 8 years. Eight. She watched pornography till she became stupid. Now that's happened to many people. I know you're new, so you think, go and listen to other people. She became stupid in school. That's the law of sin and death. Her sin was causing her brain cells to die. Remember that story I've told? Different times. I haven't told it. It's not even long. How the man became so stupid, spit. He watched pornography so much. This is a man that they say was the best Christian man in that church. Till his brain, the only kind of job, he will be standing and his mouth will open and spit to just do. A normal human being. He watched porn so much. The only kind of job he could do is this kind of job that a carton passes, you carry it. Like a robot. That his brain had deteriorated. Sin. Run. Sin is your enemy. I'm not going into sins like sexual immorality, how you can get all sorts of sexual transmitted infections that can destroy your whole life. That's the law of sin and death. Very obvious, but in the body level. But it can also be in the mind level. Some people have read books that have put so much unbelief in their hearts in the things of God that they cannot believe the things of God. Because you read so much, you watch so many videos that express doubt and unbelief about everything that is godly. So even when you're hearing and seeing things, you keep doubting. Is it really true? Is it really true? I'm sure there's a reasonable explanation, a logical explanation to this. There is, that you are crazy. That's the logical explanation. You see someone say, for 11 years, my back, I couldn't stand straight. Then as they prayed for me, my back, I felt caca. I've been walking straight and jumping since then. You say, I'm sure there's a logical explanation. There's no explanation. The explanation is that the maker of heaven and earth has touched that back and healed it. It is what it is. So, law of sin and death is that if you sin, any dimension you sin in, you release death into that dimension. Are you hearing me? Yes. Yes. You release death into that space. Okay? And that's what Adam and Eve did. Okay? All right. We'll stop there. We are done for now. Any other questions are from another day, right? And we'll answer it another day. Maybe Friday. Or Wednesday or Friday. Okay? Preferably Wednesday. Did anyone have a question? You didn't pass it in. You have in your heart, your mouth. Let me see your hand. All right. There's nobody. We're going to stand to our feet and we're going to pray. There are a couple of things which we have emphasized, but I think the emphasis is what came at the very end. And I like that the Spirit of God emphasized it at the very end. And that is that the wages of sin is death. And most people that are suffering from death, the only reason is because they sin. I'm going to repeat this. Don't complicate it. Stop looking for answers to why there are problems, some in your family. When your family is sinning up and down. When sin is normal. When you go to native doctors and you carry out rituals. No, don't stop asking who did what. Don't waste anyone's time. Don't waste your time like that. Don't waste your time. Your problem is you. Your solution is Jesus. Obedience to Jesus. That's all. Don't come. I don't even want to pray about this one. It's not even necessary. The only prayer I'll pray is just briefly so you will, you know what to do. Maybe I'll pray that God will give you help. Now, if you're visiting with us, you're new or you've been here for a while, these things, you've heard it, but you heard it more today. I'll ask if you want to talk with someone when we are done. You know, we'll pray for the first timers. So make sure you don't leave now. You stay till the end. Don't rush out. I'll ask that the Lord will answer you. A prophetic team will pray with you. And some of the things on your heart. Don't tell them anything. I'm not saying you should tell them anything. I trust that the Lord will speak some things to you that may answer some of your questions. In addition to that, the most important thing is that you are sorry for sin. I talked about sin so much today. And I spoke about the end of the age, the lawless one. The one that will have power over the inhabitants of the earth because they don't like to be lawful. I also talked about how to escape it. The mark of the bond servant. A bond servant doesn't live for himself, he lives for his master. If he makes your master sad, you are sad. If God is grieving over the sins of his people, and you are not grieving, there's a big problem there. First prayer point. I always think we should be grateful. How many of you think somebody here might be saved because of the things we've said today? So thank him. Thank him that he gave us light. He spoke to us. Thank him that he spoke to us. Thank him that he spoke to us about these things. Tell him thank you. Thank him for light. Thank him for understanding, for illumination. Thank him for the truth. The truth that makes men free. Thank you, Lord. We are grateful, O Lord God. We are grateful, O Lord God. Blessed be your name. Amen. I want to pray for those that are saying, I don't think if, I think that day will come on me very suddenly. I think I will enter trouble. All right. I'm going to ask you right where you're standing. And you're saying, there's no way I even think I've begun to get ready. But I'm saying right here, I want to get ready. I want to be in the class of those that are rescued, that escape the things that are coming. That will be like Lot. That will be like Noah. You're here. And that's your prayer. You know, you're not in a safe place. And you want to pray that prayer. Don't raise your hand if you don't mean to do it. Remember, it's not saying, it is what you will do after now. I know many people want to do what is right, but they seem helpless. And I'm going to ask you, because you didn't have certain things in place, amongst other things, you didn't have a company of people to run the race with. The majority of people do well when they have others that are running in the same direction with them. Majority of people fall away when you're running alone. You don't have anyone to run with. People that are pursuing righteousness like you, that seek what God's will constantly. Everything is easier when you do it with a group. So I'm saying, don't say, okay, I don't want to. I've gone for altar calls so many times. It has not worked. It has not worked. So I don't want to deceive myself. Don't listen to the devil. Remember, he's the one who deceives all who dwell on the face of the earth. Don't let the devil deceive you. Satan is not stronger than God. That dragon is not greater than God's angels. How much more God? God is stronger than anything Satan can use to try and hold you. But you must trust God. Why you have not been helped is because you've never trusted him long enough. You always go with what the enemy says. You give up easily. You stop trying. Those who press on, they make it. Those who press on. If there's anything that helped me in my life, is that I kept pressing on. I refused to stumble and fall and lie down there. I kept pressing. So wherever you are here, and you're saying any of the overflow rooms, wherever you are, and you're saying, you know, before now, I haven't made a real decision to pursue slavery to Jesus. I want you to lift your hands. Look at how I'm lifting my hand. This is how you lift it, so I can see. If I don't see any hand, I'm not praying with it. You know, and you're saying, Lord, I want to, and two hands, not one. I want to make that choice. And we are going to pray together. Right where you're standing, I don't want you to come out because of time. Yes, raise the hand. Let me see it. If I see no hand, we are not praying. Father God, you're going to pray with me. You are going to ask the Lord from where you are, because the Lord will see you. The Lord will hear you. He knows if you're sincere. So he's going to answer accordingly. Okay? I'd like you to close your eyes and say, Father Lord, I'm not hearing you, so I don't know what you're doing. I'll call you out. Father Lord, I am coming to you now. I have heard your word. I believe it. So I'm calling on you. Save me. Jesus, you are Lord. Save me. Deliver me from lawlessness. Prepare me to meet you, my God. Get me ready for the truth encounter. Get me ready for the times of destruction that are coming upon the world. Make me a vessel unto honor, one that will escape the darkness that will cover the earth. Fill me with your light. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your truth. Make me a brand new creature with a new heart and a new mind, and renew my body. Renew every part of me. May I be pleasing to you. Find me with your seal. Seal me, O Lord my God. Teach me the way of the bond servant. Thank you, Lord God. while your hands are still up, I'm praying for you. Father, I'm asking for every one of these ones that called on you right now. Father, I'm asking that you will touch them. I ask for fresh oil, la kibra de preku si prekunde begede la kumbele bataka. Oh, your hand, kelebata rigode, your love, touch them, touch them, touch them, touch them, touch them, touch them. Spirits of bondage, spirits of sin, spirits of confusion and blindness. You spirit that makes a noise, kerebata bashata kadigadu shite. I command you to take your hands out of their eyes, their ears, their mouth. I command you to take your hands off their thoughts. The sword of the Lord, the sword of the Lord, to the left, to the right. In every space, in every room. That chain you shatter now in the name of Jesus. I free your feet to pursue Jesus. This tombstone across this grave. Roll back in Jesus' name. Let the prisoner be set free now. Let the light shine. Let the light shine. Let the light shine. Come forth in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Your death ends now. Like Lazarus, you live. I ask, Father God, for those that stand by to remove the grave clothes. I ask for those that will stand by. Lord, make them living sacrifices.
Amen.
To offer up incense and praise. Let the fire fall. Let idols be burned up. Pride and rebellion. Everyone say, I renounce pride.
I renounce pride.
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 I renounce you.
I renounce you.
I reject you.
I reject you.
Rebellion.
Rebellion.
I renounce you.
I renounce you.
I reject you.
I reject you.
Be gone.
Be gone.
Have no right in me.
Have no right in me.
In my thoughts.
In my mind.
In my mind.
In my will.
In my will.
Every place I gave you.
I take it back.
I take it back.
Go.
Go.
Do not return.
Do not return.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Every spirit of pride and rebellion that found a place. Be gone.
Amen.
You leave. Because your time is up. That person that has been nailed down like with a 10 peg nail size. Peg, be removed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You will not be bound to one place doing, acting stubbornly. Spirit of stubbornness, I rebuke you.
Amen.
Order you to be gone. Your power be broken. According to their words, be it unto them. As they have spoken, as they have spoken, as they have spoken, so be it unto them.
Amen.
Pride, you've been renounced. Your rights are withdrawn.
Amen.
Rebellion, you've been renounced. Your rights are withdrawn.
Amen.
Spirit of rebelliousness, you wicked spirit, that seals lips when they should speak and speaks when you should shut up. Be silent in the name of Jesus. Depart the space behind their tongue. You do not control the bridles anymore. I speak freedom. I speak liberty. I speak liberty. I speak liberty. Lord, I ask for your net to catch here. Not the snare that will come on all who dwell on the face of the earth. We reject the snare of the enemy. We embrace the fishing net of Jesus. Lord, draw us in with your own catch into your boat where it is safe. Let your people here be amongst those that please you. The scriptures say, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the Lamb. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. There's a sword that is coming upon the inhabitants of the face of the earth. Father, I'm asking for this extra mercy, for the extra dense. Open their eyes. Show them things to come. Show them things to come. Show them things to come. Scales fall away. You will lie down and you will sleep. And the heart of the Father and the things to come will be opened to you. The inescapable future of the inhabitants of the earth. Let the veil be drawn aside. Let the veil be drawn aside. Let the veil be drawn aside. You promised, Father, rain for the wicked and the righteous. Do not only show it to those who believe, show it to those who don't believe. Rain for the wicked. Rain for the unbeliever. The rain of the Spirit. The rain of prophetic sight. The rain of prophetic foresight. The rain of prophecy. Ela kodegada. Makobadi kariba. Sito kadeta. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Father, I ask for the person who's been living in sin, struggling with sin, the bondage and the punishment that comes due to sin. And they've been looking for solutions, and you've told them the solution today. I'm going to ask for this, Father, for mercy enough to expose the particular sins that have given particular permission. I ask that you show mercy like this. Make known the wrongdoing, the things that must be restituted and restored, the things that you know, Jesus, you know, the things that only you know. I'm asking that you reveal. You will show it to them and they will no more flounder around, running from pillar to post. Let there be an end to that running around. Peace. Stand still and see the salvation of your God. Today, there are people that, you know, can't really say you are born again or you are born again. You haven't made a choice till today, really. You haven't known how to make a choice. You're going to make a choice after today or today, hopefully. And you're going to decide to follow Jesus. You haven't decided, you haven't made a choice, and you're saying, I want to follow Jesus from now. I want to be a child of God for real. Just again, even if you raise your hand before, but hey, this is not an old Christian upgrading. This, you're not born again really, and you say, I want to follow Jesus. Just raise your hand where you're standing and pray with me. Raise it and raise it high. Anybody? Say with me, Lord Jesus, save me. Save me. Accept me. Forgive me. I believe that you save sinners, of which I am one. Make me live for you every day of my life. May the enemy not take me back till I see your face. Thank you. Give me a new spirit. Give me a new heart. Wash me with your blood. Teach me your words. Thank you, good Lord. Amen. Father, I'm asking for everybody here. One more time, everybody.
Eyes are on you. We come to Jesus. Our eyes are on you. Oh, we seek to please you. Lord, our eyes are on you. We came to seek you. You've shown us the way. Hear us as we pray. Cause our eyes are on you.
Thank you, Lord God. Father, I'm asking for something else yet again. Concerning the things that are coming upon the world. You promised there will be signs in heaven and on earth. Father, I'm asking that you help us see the signs. Billows of fire and smoke. Help us see. Help us understand. Help us perceive. Father, I ask that you forgive us for living carelessly. Like people who have endless time. Forgive us. I ask that the deception of Satan be broken off here. Deception. The power of deception be broken off. I ask that Apollyon will not have permission over us. The destroyer will not have permission over us. This is our prayer, O Lord God. I ask for your mark. Teach us to bear your mark.
Amen.
May we not follow idols and dishonor you and bring shame to your name. Anyone here that has been double-minded, struggling over the things of the world, competing with God Almighty, sand competing with gold, sand, dust. Forgive. As that you open the door to a new season of understanding and relationship. Let the powers of darkness be put to flight. Get us ready, Lord. For the battle, get us ready. I ask before your courts in heaven, I ask that adjudications against your children, let it be withdrawn. Those here, let us be as Lot, let us be as Noah. May we not be marked for punishment like the others around. Let there be a separation between those who fear you and those who don't. Let your hand be great. Do the impossible. Reverse. Reverse the effect of sin and death. On everyone here who has come under your covering, reverse the effect of sin. Death, roll back in Jesus' name. Your ravages in the physical body,
be reversed in Jesus' name. Be rolled back in Jesus' name. Healing virtue. Reverse. Sickness be reversed. Pain be reversed. Shame be reversed. Bleeding be reversed. Cease and desist. On the screen, you can offer it. All your giving, I know often we just rush over it, but every once in a while I feel quite convicted. I know we take it at the end, so it seems as if it's not that important. However, and whatever you give, our church members know we give whenever you decide to give, whether it's once a month when you get a salary, whenever. We don't really, you know, believe every meeting you come, you have to have something in hand, because it's not true. You give according to your harvest, according to what you have, according to your ability, not whenever you gather. So, but if you are giving, always give with dignity, give with honor to the Lord. You know, be careful, think about it ahead. Don't give God on the fly. You know, even if you want to give 200 naira, 100 naira, 50, for all I care, do it ahead, carry it, keep it ahead. With the intention of giving. Give it with honor. That's what I mean. Never come to the place where you give God like, here, 20 kobo. Don't think, it's the thinking I'm addressing. I'm not addressing the amount. It's a mindset with which you give. It's very important. I should have said this the other day, but I'm saying it now. Father, I ask that you receive from everything we give. I ask that you receive it for your glory and praise. As that you use it, may your name be honored, may extend your work and service. Father, I'm asking for a replenishing, I ask for provision, I ask that every gift, according to their ability, receive, including their lives, their hearts, their mind, their works, receive from them. Do more than we ask or imagine. Amen.
We pray you receive eyes to see, ears to hear, and an understanding heart. Remember, test all things, and hold fast to what is good. For more information, visit our website at gods-lighthouse.org.